Mark chapter 8. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
All right, here we go. The disciples had forgotten to bring bread, except for one loaf that they had with them in the boat. Little tiny biscuit, really. Be careful, Jesus warned them. Watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod. They discussed this with one another, and they said, it is because we have no bread. Aware of their discussion, Jesus asked them, why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not see or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes but fail to see, and ears but fail to hear? And don't you remember, when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up? 12, they replied. And when I broke the 7 loaves for the 4,000, how many basketful of pieces did you pick up? And the answer is 7. And he said to them, do you still not understand? Lord, we come to you. And sometimes the truths of the kingdom can be difficult to understand. Sometimes it seems that we get stuck on our journey towards you. Lord, I pray that you would open our hearts to your word this morning, that we would not be stuck in our journey towards you, that your glory would be manifest among us, and we will give you praise in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen,
amen, amen, amen. Well, as I was preparing this message over the last several days, I was reminded of a story. And, you know, we are heading out every day over to the skate park. And a story I was reminded of is when I was a teenager. I think seeing these teenage boys over at the skate park reminded me how ignorant I truly was when I was that age. And I witness on that. I mean, sometimes you just forget. And so I was reminded that we used to kind of off-road in our mini trucks when I was 16, 17, 18 years old. And living in Fresno, there sometimes were places that we off-roaded that we weren't supposed to off-road. Are you following me on that, you know, kind of being in the wrong place at the wrong time? And that thing about off-roading in your truck, I mean, the very nature of it, sometimes you get stuck. Can I get a witness?
Yes.
And so we're out where we're not supposed to be, and we get stuck. And when you get stuck where you're not supposed to be, it's an emergency because you got to get out of there quick. Quick, quick, quick. And being a farm boy, I know how to get unstuck and all that kind of stuff. And so we're like moving dirt and trying to spin those wheels. And they're spinning and it's flinging mud all over the place. And we're going, we got to go, we got to go. And they're covered with mud, covered with grime, covered with all kinds of stuff. Putting everything we can. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Putting everything you can underneath those wheels. And that guy's spinning the tires. And it begins to catch it. And we are free. You know that feeling? You know, you just kind of get movement, you get freedom, yes! And man, he starts barreling down, whoo, right into another big old hole. And we're stuck worse now than when we started. And sometimes that is a great picture or an accurate picture of our spiritual life. That we go from one stuck to the next. And so as we come, oh, hey, Taylor, bring me that bottle of water over there, would you? As we come to the feeding of the 4,000, it is a message for those who are in the kingdom. Thank you very much. We are talking about the disciples. We're talking about the Pharisees, and they are kind of stuck. Title of the message is Stuck in the Kingdom in our series, Finding Faith. And the disciples are kind of struggling. We come to the feeding of 4,000. Jesus is preaching the kingdom of God. There's no miracles going on. And some are catching it. And some are not. And it's not so much what you hear with your ears that impacts your walk in the kingdom, but it's what you hear with your heart. Now, I got to pull back for a second on this, because Mark writes this gospel with a target of a church in persecution, the Church of Rome. Mark was closely affiliated with the ministry of Paul. And as this letter goes out to this church that is being persecuted, actually, Paul and Peter are both crucified by Nero a few years after this is written. But it is a challenging time for the church in Rome. In fact, many of these Christians are making the ultimate sacrifice. Jesus said, you will be persecuted. Jesus said, you will be challenged in your life because of me. But he also says, blessed is he who overcomes. Can I get a witness on that? Blessed is the man who finds faith. And so as this message goes out from Mark, it is not written to a church that's just going, oh yeah, everything is good. No, it is written to a people that are struggling with their faith. Challenges all around. Look around us, our challenged lives on display. How are you doing? How are the challenges in your life? How are you responding? Because you can either be distracted from your journey towards Christ, or you can grab on tight. Amen? Easy to get off track in the kingdom of God. Because challenges come. As we started off this series talking about the parable of the soils, and challenges come, it's easy to start thinking with your natural mind. And you kind of battle with kingdom choices and natural choices, with the old heart and with the new heart. But the message that comes through as we talk about the feeding of the 4,000, that when you have a kingdom focus, you will find a kingdom supply. Amen? Tyler's message is stuck in the kingdom. And I hope today you are not stuck. Amen? All righty. Finding focus. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Somebody clicked that. Wasn't me. Oh, here we go. All right. Dealing with a new crowd. And we're talking about this 4,000. During those days, another large crowd gathered. And since they had nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to them and said, I have compassion for these people. They have already been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. If I send them home hungry, they will collapse on the way because some of them have come a long distance. Now, again, nothing is said here of any miracles. No demons being cast out, not necessarily mean that nothing was going on, but what was going on was the kingdom of God and the message of the kingdom. Amen? And there is an impact that is happening in the lives of these people. Some have come from a far way. Some have come from a close way. But all of them have stayed with a focus on the kingdom, with enough faith to stay beyond what their natural resources will provide for them. I am sure that Jesus was not the first one to think, hey, we don't got enough food to get home. Can I get a witness on that? But the crowd has found faith. They have found enough faith that they can put a focus on the kingdom of God and rest in the knowledge that there comes with that a kingdom supply. Amen? Jesus has compassion on them. It's kingdom time. It's miracle time. Psalm 37:25. Psalmist writes, I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread. And Jesus says, let's make some bread. Amen? Let's continue reading. Challenges of the kingdom supply. Kingdom challenges and kingdom supply. I mean, his disciples answered. And you got to remember back to the feeding of the 5,000. Because I got to think that Jesus was a little exasperated here. Where in this remote place can anyone get enough bread to feed them? 2 weeks ago, we did the feeding of the 5,000. Amen? What did they say? Jesus said, get them some bread. Where in this remote place will we find enough bread? It's like, what's going on with you guys? How many loaves do you have? Jesus asked. 7, they replied, and he told the crowd to sit down on the ground. When he had taken the 7 loaves and given thanks, he broke them and gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people, and they did so. They had a few small fish as well. He gave thanks for them also and told the disciples to distribute them. The people ate and were satisfied. Afterward, the disciples picked up 7 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. About 4,000 were present. After he had sent them away, he got into the boat with his disciples and they went to the region of Dalmanutha. Challenges to the kingdom with kingdom supply. Amen? Are you kidding me? Where can we get enough bread? He had just fed the 5,000. You know, and it was 5,000 men. He said the total people there was 4,000. I would think the disciples are going, this is going to be no sweat. We only got 4,000 people here. We'll be able to feed them easy. But there is this struggle that goes on in the hearts of the disciples. Jesus goes through the similar steps, have everybody sit down. He begins to multiply the loaves, and they start pressing it out. And then he does a separate blessing for the fish. And it's almost like the fish are an add-on. Oh, hey, Jesus, we found some fish. And you got to wonder, how hard were they looking? I mean, what do you got? Oh, we found some bread. We talk about truth in the kingdom. You know, Jesus saying, what do you got that you can bring to the kingdom that I can work with? What faith do you have that you can bring what you have and see God do miraculous things with that? Amen? Amen. It's like the fish are an afterthought. So he blessed the fish and he passed the fish out as well. And everybody gets enough because the crowd had a kingdom focus. And with that kingdom focus comes kingdom supply. Now, I got to teach you a little something. I'm not sure if it comes through in Spanish or not, but the 7 baskets. The baskets are, the Greek word is spirus. The Apostle Paul was lowered in a spirus down the walls of Damascus. The spirus is a big basket. The 12 baskets that were left over from the feeding of the 5,000 is a different word, and it's like a little lunchbox basket. So realistically, there probably was a whole lot more left over from the feeding of the 4,000 than the feeding of the 5,000. But you can miss that in our English translation. I'll have to ask Pastor Carlos how that's translated after we get done here. But one thing that you can rest on, that there was enough to go around and meet every need, and there was more than enough left over to meet the needs of the disciples. Amen? Amen. It can become challenging to rely on the kingdom supply. It is a work of faith every time. I remember that we were building when I worked at the orphanage, we were building a grammar school at the Tijuana dump, the one over by the Playas. And the ministry had built a church there years before. We were building this grammar school, 12 rooms, And it means 8 rooms, but it was 2-story, and we were building this classroom. And the best man at my wedding, he was the head contractor guy. And so he's building the rooms, and in Mexico, you build to the property line. So it's like, and he's going to the director, Steve. He goes, "Steve, hey, we got no bathrooms." And Steve says, "Hey, you know what? You got enough to keep you busy. Build the school. Just build it." We had teams coming in. They'd drywall. They'd do all this kind of stuff, volunteer labor kind of stuff. They'd bring money to buy all the stuff. We'd paint it, put flooring in, everything. "Steve, we got no bathrooms. Steve, we got no bathrooms." And it comes down to the weekend before school is going to start. And my friend, John Schneider, he is tripping because we got no bathrooms. 3 federales come walking up and knock on the door looking for the head contractor guy. And he says, "We own this piece of property that touches your school here, and it's so small that we can't do anything with it. Would you guys like to have it?" And Steve turns to John and says, "John, build us some bathrooms." And John looks at him with this questioning question mark on his face. And he says, "John, God knows we need bathrooms." And John was so exasperated. A kingdom focus will always get you a kingdom supply. Amen? All right, let's keep going. The Pharisees. Jesus gets in the boat. They take off. They go to another place. They leave the crowd behind. The Pharisees came and began to question Jesus. The Pharisees, we talked about this last week, the week before, they're the sold out guys. They want to work everything out. They are totally focused on God and serving God. The Pharisees came and began to question Jesus. To test him, they asked him for a sign from heaven. He sighed deeply. "Why does this generation ask for a sign? Truly I tell you, no sign will be given to it." And then he left them, got back in the boat, and crossed to the other side. And we take a look at the Pharisees and the request for a sign. And Jesus says, "What you see is what you get. I'm not going to do a sign." And I got to do a little bit more Greek for you, because the word for sign is semeion. And it is different than the word for miracles. They are looking for more than healings. They are looking for more than casting out demons. They are looking for signs where there will be no doubt that Jesus was from heaven. And Jesus says, "I'm not going there. That's not what I came to do." And Jesus is exasperated. Jesus is disappointed that the request comes. And as I minister to these kids at the skate park, over and over and over, they want God to do something to prove to them. And the word that the Pharisees use, or that Mark used to describe this request to the Lord, is parazo. Satan parazoed Jesus in the wilderness. Satan tempted Jesus, parazoed him. And so these Pharisees, they come with a temptation. "Would you do something that you're not prepared to do? Would you do something different than what you came to do?" And there are so many requests. "If Jesus would just do this, then I would believe." But God doesn't jump through hoops. God is who God is. Jesus says, "I am that I am." Can I get a witness on that? And Jesus comes and does miracles. Right before this feeding of the 4,000, he healed a deaf man. Put his hand on his tongue. He was mute. He couldn't talk. Deaf, mute. After this story, he heals a blind man. Jesus come to do what Jesus came to do, and he does it. And it's up to you to receive that or not, to get a kingdom focus or not. But when you get that kingdom focus, and the 4,000 had it, enough to disregard what was going on around them and keep their focus on the Lord, and their needs were met. The Pharisees know. If there was anybody who was going to jump on board with Jesus, it should have been the Pharisees. They knew the prophecy in Isaiah 35:7, which says that the mute will speak. They knew about the prophecies. They could have said, wow, this guy's coming through. We got to jump on board. But they were stuck in the kingdom. And they had no excuse. We continue on. The disciples had forgotten to bring bread, except for one loaf they had with them in the boat. Be careful, Jesus warned them. Watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and for that of Herod. Did Jesus say that the Pharisees are off track? Things aren't working out. You think about yeast. What are we talking about bread so much for? Yeast stands for sin. When they would have feasts, they would eat bread with no yeast because it stands for evil. It stands for sin. And so you eat this bread with no yeast, and it's a display and all this kind of stuff. And it's an interesting display because it just takes a little bit of yeast to go through the whole loaf of bread. And it only takes a little bit of evil. Well, it takes a little bit of sin, like that of Herod and like that of the Pharisees, to really spread out and do damage to everything. You following me on this? It's a big deal. The sin of the Pharisees. Let's talk about that. The Pharisees were technically what you would call legalists. They worked the list. Jehovah's Witnesses, they worked the list. Mormons, they worked the list. A lot of Jews worked the list. Pharisees had 613 requirements on their list. And that list was supposed to get you to God. But what that list did was got you off track. Kingdom of God focuses on kingdom power, love, and self-discipline. Paul writes to Timothy, 2 Timothy 1:7. Not a list. Amen? The sin of Herod. Now, Herod, the sin of Herod is almost the opposite of the sin of the Pharisees. Because Herod was sold out to Rome. He was linked up with the Sadducees. The Sadducees were running the temple that was called Herod's temple that he had built. And it was a sellout. It was a way to make money. The priesthood was all about the cash, and they would do anything that they could for money. Message of Mark. You don't need the Romans when you got kingdom supply. Amen? Kingdom focus finds kingdom supply. Challenges all around. Amen? I haven't been able to hear in my right ear for about 10 days now. Getting to kind of worry me. We got new leadership coming in our country. Oh, man. I worry about that. Amen? We're reaching out to these skaters in the park. Oh, man. And we got all this kind of commotion going on with people that are coming in for food in our programs. And there's two responses. With all these challenges and all this commotion, it'll either cause you to get a greater focus on the Lord or cause you to start looking for some earthly resources. Well, last night we had prayer meeting and I had Pastor Paul anoint me with oil, man. I tell you what, Bible says, James says, chapter 5, you're sick, come, have the elders of the church pray on you and you will get well. And I am looking to get well. Amen? At our program with the folks that are coming into food, we're going to pour love out on them. Amen? We got some love going out, and they're going to see kingdom resources and kingdom love and see them move their way into the kingdom of God. And at our skaters, we are going to put a focus on the Word of God that we could see that word go out and transform some lives. Amen? See, your challenges can pull you into the kingdom or pop you out. And I don't know what you're facing today, but you're either going to find kingdom resources or you're going to pop out. The disciples were stuck, surrounded by challenge. And it's like they got stuck at the feeding of the 5,000, then popped out, and then got stuck again at the feeding of the 4,000, just like my buddy who got stuck when we were off-roading. You tracking with me? All right, that's talking about the disciples again. It says, disciples are missing a kingdom focus. And the Bible tells us about these guys that they are really struggling for kingdom comprehension. They're in the kingdom. They've been moving in the power, but they're stuck. I hope you come in here this morning that you have experienced kingdom power, but you are not stuck, that you are moving into the kingdom of God and finding that kingdom supply as you have that focus. Amen? They discussed this with one another, and they said, the disciples, the future leader of the church, the 12 men that would change the world forever, they discussed this with one another and said, it's because we got no bread. Aware of their discussion, Jesus asked them, why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not see or understand? Are your hearts hardened? No bread. They think Jesus is mad. Jesus wants lunch, and we don't have any lunch for him. So he's just mad. He's talking about the yeast of Herod and talking about the yeast of the Pharisees. Jesus is having a bad day. But realistically, you got these massive crowds, you know, and as we've been reading through Mark in this series called Finding Faith, man, the crowd comes running. And they try and get a minute alone, and the crowd's already there. And so Jesus grabs these guys, puts them in a boat so he can have some private teaching time. And he's talking about some core issues about the kingdom of God. And they're going, man, he just wants some bread. Talk about being stuck. These guys are stuck. Kingdom focus. Get you kingdom supply. They're worried about having lunch. Jesus is talking about living lives of faith. Jesus is talking about the choices that we make. Do you still not see? Do you still not understand? When I hear from the Lord, those are not the statements I want to hear. Amen? I want that, well done, good and faithful servant. I want the, man, you are moving ahead so quick. Slow it down, buddy. Slow it down. Take a rest. Last thing I want to say, do you still not understand what's going on around you? Do you still not get all this? There's been kingdom supply all around you. And you are missing it. You're just stuck. The hard hearts will block kingdom comprehension. This is written to the church in Rome. They got challenged everywhere. People are dying. People are getting killed. Peter and Paul are crucified. Talking about a church that needs to grab onto something that is real. Not some fluff church. We're not talking about a La Jolla church or Del Mar church. Or some any other church other than the hood where things are just floating along saying, oh yeah, this is a church where people are dying for their faith. Their property is being taken. Writer of Hebrews writes to the church in Rome, says, do not forsake gathering together. Why were they skipping church? Because they were being arrested. Their homes were being taken. They were being killed. And some people, they don't come to church because I got to do laundry. That wasn't in my notes. That was for free. Easy to lose track. Easy to think kingdom does not reach this far into my life. The kingdom does not expand into my situation. My problem's just too big for God. I'm going to fix this on my own. Can I witness on that? I've been waiting too long for God. God's just not coming through on my time frame. God, could you do this? Jesus says, I ain't doing no signs. He got in the boat and left. Can I get a witness on that? I don't do tricks. This is so you can grow. This is so you can move ahead in the kingdom. And you want me to give you a little present wrapped up with a bow? That's not how I roll. This is bigger than you. This is kingdom size. Put a focus on the kingdom. You'll find kingdom supply. Amen? All right. We're doing okay? Jesus spells it out. And I, you know what? I said I don't want to hear those questions. I don't want to hear this. I definitely don't want to hear this. I hope you don't hear this from Jesus when he says, do you have eyes but fail to see? Do you have ears but fail to hear? Don't you remember? Side note, I'm not reading this. He said, I have made kingdom provision. I have put the kingdom on display in your life. Have you forgotten so quickly? Do you think my arm has grown short to save? Sorry, that's no extra charger. Don't you remember when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000? How many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up? They said 12. When I broke the 7 loaves for the 4,000, how many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up? They answered 7. And he said, do you still not understand? And I'm telling you, you can look at this and you go, I don't get this. I mean, is he doing a math problem? Is it like kingdom multiplication? Am I the only one? I mean, you can read this and go, what are you talking about, Jesus? I mean, look a couple of pages back. Is he going to describe all this and tell us what this means? He's talking kingdom level stuff. And he is expecting his disciples to grasp it and to grab on. Don't you understand? Do you have eyes but fail to see? I'm like, I don't see it. Message that comes through in these three verses. Kingdom supply is not a function of your earthly resources. 7 loaves, 12 loaves, what do you start with? It don't matter. Whatever you start with, there was an incredible multiplication beyond your imagination to feed and meet every need. Kingdom supply is a function of kingdom need. And when you have a focus on the kingdom, that supply is going to meet your need. Maybe not your desire. There might have been somebody there who wanted some crab cakes. There was loaves and there was fishes. That was it. It was a poor man's lunch, but there was enough for everybody to be satisfied. Amen? I don't know what your desire is, but you put a kingdom focus in your life, you will find a kingdom supply. Amen? My wife around here someplace? I saw her sitting someplace. Oh, there she is, over there. She's sitting with them babies. Yeah, look at that, look at that. I had Ezekiel on my shoulder. He just put his head on my shoulder. Man, I just preach with this kid on my shoulder. Yeah. So I probably wake him up yelling. Kingdom supply. Kingdom supply comes into play at the point of no return. As you passed that point, so you get to the point of no return, the feeding of the 4,000, right? Could have been some guys, whoa, I got enough fish here, I got enough bread here, I can get back home. We got to go now, honey. We're taking off. And that is a natural response to a challenge in your life. And there's a lot of people who never get past the point of no return. They never get past to the point of kingdom supply. So you get to that, past that point of no return. Honey, there ain't enough to get home. But it's okay, because we're listening to the man of God. And I am feeling in my heart that as long as we are focused on this man, we're going to be just fine. So you get past that point of no return, and all you have left is kingdom focus. And what you can expect in your life is kingdom supply. The Pharisees didn't get there. They showed up and they said, hey, before we go any further, can you show us something? Turn around. We're not getting out there. We're not going to get out there till we got to live a life of faith. Oh, no. We got a list. And the list keeps us nice and safe. You know what I'm talking about? The disciples, send them away. We barely got enough for us. Jesus asked the question, don't you understand? But Jesus does not ask a question that I would love for him to ask. Where's your bread? You got on this boat with one loaf. What happened to the one loaf? The disciples were unwilling to bend a knee to Jesus and say, Lord, we got one loaf. What can you do with one? If you graph it out with seven loaves, fed 4,000. Five loaves, fed five. With one loaf, he could feed 12,000. What happened to the loaf? And they either cracked it up and had something about as big as our communion cracker today for each one of them, or one of them said, Jesus can't do nothing with this. Flipped it over the side. See, the challenges in your life are going to cause you to get a focus on the kingdom and grab on and receive kingdom supply and kingdom nutrition. Or it's going to cause you to kick out and say, I can't go this far. And the disciples are stuck. How are you today? Some of you say, I'm living on the edge, Pastor. I am so far out there, I got no way back. My life is lived with a focus on the kingdom, and I rely upon. It's like Steve saying, man, I knew them bathrooms were coming. I didn't know where. God knows we need bathrooms. God knows what you need. But you might be sitting here today and you have never taken that step. You've asked the Lord to come into your life. You've said, Lord, save me from my sin. But you get out there to where it's beyond safe. You know, I can't do this. Disciples had done it before. I ain't going back out there again. It's too dangerous. I can't trust God enough to get out beyond the point of no return. Where are you at today? Are you stuck? Are you freaking out because you live in a life of faith? Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you that you are good, mighty, and awesome. Lord, I am trusting you to heal my ear. I don't know what else is going to happen. Lord, you have made provision for Lisa and I for so many years and so many situations. With no turning back and no other place to focus. I thank you, Lord, that you have never seen your righteous forsaken or begging bread. And Lord, this morning, there are those that are here this morning that are going, woo-hoo! Thank you, Jesus. Because you have come through in the past. And Lord, it's scary. But I know you're coming through for me. I'm trusting you, God. I got no other options but you. And some of you are right at the point of no return. And you're afraid. You're stuck. I want to let you know this morning, you put a focus on the kingdom, you will find kingdom supply. Bank my life on it. I can't bank your life on it. You're the only one that can. But when you do, he'll come through. And he'll never ask you, do you still not comprehend? Because you'll be living comprehension. Lord, I thank you that you are good and mighty, and I thank you that we can worship you and that we can live all out and all, no looking back, leaning forward into the kingdom, knowing that you meet us, make provision on the way for that. You're here this morning, and you've been living safe. And the Lord's saying right now in your ear, don't you understand? Don't you understand? Do you have eyes but don't see, ears but not hear? This is for you. You're living a safe life. I will catch you. Move on. With nobody looking around. It's not for salvation. You know the Lord Jesus. I'll come back to salvation in a second. You know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior, but you've been living safe. And the Lord says, lean on me this morning. And you're going to say, Lord, oh, freaking me out, Lord. But I'm leaning forward. I'm moving in. I'm moving past the point of return, no return. I'm moving ahead with you with nobody looking around. You're moving out of safety. You're moving into the danger zone. You're going to move into miracle space. You're going to move into kingdom supply. Nobody looking around. You're not there, but you're moving into it. Just slide your hand up. Say, I'm going to trust the God. Lord, right here, right here, right here, here. Anybody else say that's me? Back here, yeah, back here. See the, yeah, amen. I got to pause for just a second. You're here this morning and the Lord says you're going to hell. I don't know you. I've never known you. You are in danger. You have never asked me to come into your life. And I give you the opportunity to surrender your life to me this morning. And I will give you new life. It takes your whole life. Nobody looking around. This is for that person, the Lord is speaking right to your heart saying, you are in danger of hellfire this morning. I will pull you out. I will save you. You've never done that before, but this morning the Lord is speaking to your heart. I just want you to slide your hand up real quick. Real quick. Somebody here would say, that's me. Here. Anybody else would say, that's me. Here. Anybody else? That's me. I see your hand, bro. Anybody else? Lord, I thank you for my brother, Lord, has got eternal life in you. Lord, I thank you that we can press ahead into dangerous times. I thank you for a church in Rome that lived under persecution. But as we move through, we'll find the blessed life. In Jesus' name. And everyone said?
Amen,
amen, amen. Amen. Worship team is coming. We're going to worship. It's a, what do they call it? It's an e-ticket ride, folks, going to heaven. A lot of you young people don't know what the e-ticket ride is. That was at Disneyland. That was what you had to have to go on the big rides. Yeah, man, it's not like that little caterpillar train ride. No, 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 no. That's a different ride. Heading to kingdom, e-ticket ride. Let's all stand. You want to pray? You need prayer. You need to be anointed with oil. Come up. You need healing like I do. On my ear, come up. I'll pray with you. But we're going to sing. Amen? And I got to move this over, but I'll be right back out. All right.
We praise you, Lord God. We praise you, Lord. Help us to overcome, Lord. Hallelujah.